John Johnson, the communications director for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. John, what are you doing for Father's Day?
I don't know yet. It all depends on whether or not rain prevails here in Battle Creek, and we have to be forced to go on Sunday with the with the rest of the baseball, softball. The forecast has changed down here. We might get a little bit of rain tomorrow, but right now everything is planned up in the press box. Everything right now, I'm planning on spending it with my family.
And you are down in Battle Creek for the baseball and softball state championships, semifinals and finals.
Yep, started 10 o'clock this morning with action eventually on five diamonds going simultaneously. Bailey Park has been the host of this event for 22 years, Tony. And, it's a great complex in the respect that you've got all of these diamonds before you. It's it makes it very easy for us to run the tournament, and makes it a joy to be down here.
And then this is the last weekend of high school sports, and then you'll get to lay around for the whole summer.
Actually, rules meetings kick up in the middle of July, and so our office will be closed for a week over the 4th of July. But hey, there's no rest anymore. It's as much of a year-round thing for us now as it is for our coaches and our kids, who seem to be engaged in their games at all hours of the day and night year-round.
John, interesting story here in the Lansing area. Waverly Schools recently eliminated the funding for 7 varsity and all their middle school sports, and now those teams will be club teams, if you will. They will still participate in Michigan High School Athletic Association leagues and championships and whatnot, but the funding for these teams is going to have to come from parents and coaches and other resources. And I find it interesting that not only is the funding going to have to come from those resources, but they've even been talking with Delta Township Parks and Recreation about them handling the middle school aspect of sports. And I just wanted to talk with you about this. Is this a trend you see going around the state of Michigan?
Well, the trend of self-funding sports is something that has been around for a long time. It was typically confined, though, to the ice hockey community, for many, many years, just because of ice time being so expensive, the equipment being so expensive. But as you add more things to the menu, lacrosse and bowling, things like that, those sports have gotten in the door in our school programs on a self-funded basis, which is kind of the ultimate in pay-to-play, where they have to make it completely at the gate, completely through fundraising, and completely through, families of the participants paying up. And, this is something I think that was easy to forecast because of the fact that the cuts were going to keep coming and coming. 2 years ago, one local former athletic director told me, this year we're nibbling around the edges. 10-11 will be hard. 11-12, you ain't seen nothing yet. The worst will occur. And, right now, Waverly has already made a decision that I think, unfortunately, a number of other school districts may make, over these last couple of weeks of this month as they finalize their budgets, and that's making decisions about whether or not they should go self-funded with some, if not all of their sports programs.
Well, seeing this, John, made me wonder, are there districts around the state, maybe any in the mid-Michigan area, that they do this for the big sports like basketball or football?
Well, it's, everything's on the table. Everybody keeps using that term, but it's an accurate term. Whether or not it would ever get to that point is very, very difficult to say. One of our television partners, Play On Sports in Atlanta, some of the schools that they work with in Georgia, for example, they are totally self-funded. To be on the girls' competitive cheer team, Tony, it costs $1,500. Some high schools in Ohio will charge $500, $600, $700 to play football. California, $800. Some of the fees that, we've had here in Michigan historically, which aren't nearly that high, still kind of make you know, school sports in Michigan a bargain if you have to fork it out of your own pocket. But our position has always been is that we will advocate as long as we can and as hard as we can for our schools to have fully funded extracurricular activity programs because of all the great things that they do for kids and communities.
John, is this going to be a hassle for the Michigan High School Athletic Association when you want to monitor these people?
Well, again, as you know, the more you change the scope of the program, in other words, the money goes outside of the program. But the administration, you know, and that's the key thing. Even in these self-funded programs, Tony, the school still has some responsibilities, you know, to make sure that the kids are eligible, that MHSAA rules and policies are followed. But the farther you the more of a gap you create in that separation with the money, you start to create gaps in control of your programs. And, you know, it does make you worry about some of the things. I saw on the news here locally last night on the Grand Rapids station talking about the better part of $100,000 embezzled from a booster club at Lowell High School. You know, and that's not the only case. I've heard of it down in the metro area and in other parts of the state. You know, so the more control that schools give up, the more that our programs start to look like community programs, which don't offer the same values. They don't care as much about education. You know, the further we create this chasm between you know, school administration and the sports team, you know, some people will look at it and say, hey, let's let the Parks and Rec Department run this. Let's follow the European model. But when they do that, they're really going to, you know, they're really going to hurt what's happening in our school buildings because, you know, I've talked to people before. You might remember, Tony, in the 80s, Pontiac did without sports for a few years. And a friend of mine who coached basketball down there once upon a time, he was a student at the time. And he said going to a school without sports is like going to school in a tomb. You know, yeah, it's extracurricular. It's after school and priority. But it does so much for spirit. It does so much for kids. To say right now that these things are unnecessary and, you know, we have to change everything about how we conduct their programs. If we change that, we put ourselves at risk.
All right, John, before I let you go, do you think kids will transfer districts because of these cuts?
Some might, but they have to remember that if they don't move physically into the new district, they will have to sit out for a semester. Just because a school is no longer offering a sport, that doesn't mean that that gives everybody carte blanche to change. And we'll see some schools that don't have the backbone to stand up to their parents file requests for appeal based strictly on that fact. When what they should do is they should man up to these parents and say, hey, look, your kid came over here because we have soccer and your old school didn't have soccer. He's going to have to sit. That's a choice, parent, that you made for your kids. Now you're going to have to pay the price.
John Johnson from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Thanks, John.
Tony.